Amen. The Lord bless you. Hallelujah. Amen. Please, if you have your Bibles, open with me quickly to Mark Gospel. Mark Gospel. I have a whole lot of stuff to say, but I have to read the scripture. Mark Gospel, chapter 5, and I'm going to read from verse 21 through to verse 43. Mark Gospel 21 to 43. Lord, breathe upon your word. Let this word come to life. Let this word transform us. Let this word engage us and bless us in Jesus' name. Now, when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come, lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live." So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked round to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe." And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. When he came in, he said to them, "Why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead but sleeping." And they ridiculed him. And when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was lying. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talita kumi," which is translated, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with joy, with great amazement. But he commanded them strictly that no one should know it, and said that something should be given her to eat. Lord, please breathe on this word again. Oh, give life to your word this morning. In Jesus' name. I want to welcome us to church today. I want to talk about what to do to keep your hope alive. What to do. Please be attentive. Pay attention. Because God is going to touch somebody today. I said God is going to touch somebody today. What to do to keep hope alive. Here we see the opposites, or should I say, there's a common denominator in this story. We see 12 years at both ends. One day, a girl was born to the pastor of a church. Everybody was happy. This girl was nurtured in the church. While the child was born, in another side of town, a woman became sick the same year. While there was rejoicing at this end, there was pain at the other end. Two opposites. The one who was sick and losing life, losing blood, was praying to be well, wanting to be well, ready to do anything to be well. The one on the other side of town who had this little girl never thought anything could happen to their daughter. They were okay and fine and happy. But 12 years passed. And then this girl fell sick. As the girl fell sick, word came to that woman who had been healed for 12 years that Jesus is in town. And we saw the pastor of the church running after Jesus. A nobleman, respectable, master, teacher, my daughter is sick. Please come and lay your hands and heal her. And Jesus said, okay, let's go. I will heal her. And on the way, as he was going, there were too many people following him. If you were Jairus, what would be in your mind? Time is going. These people are disturbing Jesus, who is coming to my house. Leave him alone. Let him come. My daughter is sick. The crowd delayed Jesus. In the process, this woman, who also had been sick for 12 years, came and pushed through the crowd as if there was no urgency at the temple. This woman, for 12 years, she could not be touched by anybody. She could not be loved by anybody. She could not be hugged by anybody because she was deemed unclean. And this girl, every day pampered, every day hugged, played with, she lived in the temple. This woman could not come near the temple. And suddenly she pushed through the crowd. You may want to ask yourself, whose situation is worse? The one who has been suffering for 12 years? Or the one for 12 years has been growing up suddenly at the point of death? It depends on whose side you are on. If you are the family of the woman with the issue of blood, you will say, ah, if you are the family of Jairus, you say it's Jairus' daughter. Hallelujah. But Jesus was in the middle of the road. The woman could not say, come to my house. She couldn't say, lay hands on me. Because in my mind, she knew that, hey, I'm unclean. Nobody can touch me. But she said to herself, you know what? I'm desperate enough. Enough is enough. Until you know enough is enough about your situation, nothing is going to change. Are you listening to me? Until you say what? Enough is enough. Nothing is going to change. She was like, enough is enough. She pushed through the crowd and she grabbed Jesus' clothes to the extent that Jesus knew it. Not the way every other person touched him. He knew something left me. He stopped. And Jairus was going to be like, stopping again? And Jesus stood and talking to this woman. Woman trembling. And Jesus said, you are healed. Your faith has made you whole. Everything about you is restored. The things you spent with the doctors, all that you have lost is restored. That is what wholeness means. Praise the Lord. Wholeness means restoration. Now, when Jairus called Jesus, hope arose within him when Jesus said, okay, let's go. And now Jesus is waiting, talking to this woman. And Jairus is by his side. Brethren, open many times involves waiting. And if you have waited for anything before, you know that waiting is very difficult. Praise the Lord. Waiting is very difficult. While they were waiting, while Jesus was talking to somebody else, healing this woman, they came to Jairus. It's too late, sir. Your daughter is dead. Ah, didn't I say it? It's the fault of these people, this woman. The Bible says Jesus heard it and Jesus stunned. This is the first thing you do to keep hope alive. Jesus turned and said in verse 36, the Bible says, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of synagogue, what did he say? Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Only believe. When you are waiting on God, and you are doing what you need, you know you need to be doing, and the devil is bashing you, threatening you, and wants to kill your hope, don't be afraid. Tell your neighbor, don't be afraid. I know that anytime there is an unpleasant news, the first thing that wants to show up is fear. Fear shows up. And fear doesn't work alone. Fear brings doubt along with it. You start doubting. But he said he's coming. And not only doubt, it brings sorrow with it. Hallelujah. But the truth of the matter is, you can only live either by your faith or by fear. You can't live by both. You can't live by both. You have to choose which one to live by. I choose to live by faith. Regardless of what the devil does, I choose to live by faith. What about you? Hallelujah. Anyone whose hope is in God has no need to be afraid. Fear deflates and destroys your expectation. But guess what? Faith strengthens your expectation in the face of adversity. Faith keeps your hope alive. Can I hear an amen? Amen. So no matter what is going on or going wrong in your life today, as long as you are on a walk with Jesus, Jairus was with Jesus. He was following. He trusted. He believed. As long as you are with Jesus, as long as you are walking with him by faith, you have committed your heart to him. You have told him your situation. Guess what? Just keep walking with him. Don't be afraid. The giver of life is able to bring back life to any dead situation. I don't think I have faith people in the house. Praise the Lord. When you are on the Lord's side, like Jairus was on the Lord's side, Jesus said, do not be afraid. You do not need to fear. Why? Because God is in control. I have come to announce to somebody here today that God is in control. You have no reason to be afraid. Don't give up hope. God is in control. You have been waiting. You have been hoping. God will not allow you to wait in vain. Your hope will not be in vain. The God of possibility, He will still show up for you. No matter how late people say it may be, there is no time too late for God. God is not controlled by time. God is not controlled by emotion. God is controlled by Himself. God is controlled by faith. And He will see to it that you are not put to shame. Can I add amen? Amen. Number two. After Jesus said, do not be afraid. In that same scripture, He said, only believe. Woo! That's so much to rest upon. My daughter is dead. Only believe. Yes. You see, in my walk with the Lord over these years, I've come to the realization that God doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense at all. Jesus said, only believe. Only believe. Only believe. The gravitas of that statement is not the belief. The gravitas of that statement is only. Only. Everybody say only. Which is to say no other option. No other avenue. No other option. No other way. Only this one. Believe. Don't look for any other way out. Only believe. Sometimes we find ourselves in problematic situations and we seem to have options. People always give themselves, if you're a child of God, you give yourself a whole lot of options. And it means you've not trusted God. Hallelujah. But there are other situations that the only option you have is through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only option. No other option. Sometimes you can stare. Life can stare you in the face with negativity. And it's like, the one who calls himself or themselves the highest authority can just say what? You know what? No. And our no means no. But you know what? Beyond the authority of men, there is a higher authority. And His name is Jesus. If He has not said no, their no means nothing. Praise the Lord. So I can take their no and take it back to God. Look at what they said. Is it the same thing you are saying? Is that what you are saying? And you know in your heart of hearts that God is not saying no. Then you rise up from there and start praising God. Because you believe. Praise the Lord. At that moment, Jairus' daughter had moved from sickness. The situation had been aggravated. This man had come to Jesus. He had prayed. And Jesus said, I will answer you. I'll lay hands. She was only sick at that time. Malaria fever. Or whatever fever. She was only sick at that time. And there's an assurance in your spirit that God is going to answer. That God said yes. And suddenly the situation grew worse. Now God gave me a promise. And suddenly my situation is growing worse. I thought you said yes. I thought you said you were going to do it. But now that thing is dead. It's worse than when I came to you. That's what the devil wants you to think. That it's worse. And if God does not take the glory there, then people will tell you that what you said happened did not really happen. It's just like the children of Israel. They crossed the Red Sea, right? And Pharaoh's army. And Pharaoh died in the deluge of the Red Sea. And somebody said it's a lie. That where the children of Israel crossed was a small part, like a puddle, where they crossed. That makes it one more wonderful. Which is to say, Pharaoh and his army, they died in a puddle. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus said, your only option, just believe. Just believe. Job was in that situation. That all he could say was, I will wait. I will wait. I won't seek another option. I'm not saying it's easy to wait, but he said, I will wait. I will wait until my change comes. One thing I know is people who wait on God, when the answers come, it's always beyond their expectation. Praise the Lord. Oh, you are believing God for a baby. Believing and believing and believing. Nothing seems to be happening. Months, years are passing. People are speaking, talking behind your back. Bam, something happened. You get pregnant, no IVF, and suddenly there are four. You are carrying four because for your shame, God will give you double. I say for your shame, God will give you double. As long as you don't quit on God, praise the Lord. That situation looks catastrophic. And Jesus said, just believe. Jesus, they said he died. And I said, believe. Just believe. Praise the Lord. Don't just believe. Only believe. Only believe. How do you think you're going to get your life back together? When everything seems to have fallen apart, only believe. And act on the word of God. That is when instructions are given to you. Only believe, following the instructions and the principles of the life giver. What did Jesus say in John 14, verse 6? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. You miss your way. Jesus will show you the way. Somebody lied on you. Jesus will bring the truth back to your life. Oh, you lost something. The life says you will get life. That woman who has been losing life, blood is life. 12 years, she got life back. Now that on the opposite side, that one has lost life. And Jesus is on the way. And Jesus said, just believe. Because the life is saying believe. Point number three, to keep hope alive. If you want a positive outcome of your expectation, surround yourself with the right people. Surround yourself with who? The right people. The Bible says in Mark 5, verse 37, what did Jesus do? He permitted no one to follow him except who? Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Positive people. People who believe in his vision. People who believe in what he says. Hallelujah. People who are sold out to him. Not the naysayers. No. They have learned their lessons. Lazarus is dead. No. He's sleeping and they saw Lazarus wake up. So, about that girl, they were not afraid anymore. If God has done somebody for your neighbor before, and it's a blessing for your neighbor, guess what? You are the next candidate online. I say you are the next candidate in line. And if it is you that God has done it for before, and now you find yourself in a fix, guess what? The one who did it before is able to do it again. Amen. Hallelujah. You don't give up on God. Amen? Amen. You see, don't go through difficult circumstance that life may throw you with naysayers, pity party people. The same people that wept were the same people that mocked Jesus. Not different people. Do away with naysayers. There are difficult things that will be said to you in the face of your adversity. That you are going to be like, does this man have compassion at all? That time is not about compassion, it's about solution. You need somebody around you who will believe God with you, who will believe the word of God with you. You need somebody around you who will agree to pray with you and really pray with you. You don't need people who are just hugging and crying with you. You don't need that. That's not your solution. That's not your solution. You need people around you who sees possibilities of your expectation. Who sees that things you believe are possible. Who are there to encourage you and say, yes, we are standing with you. It is possible. Let us pray. Let us declare the word of God. God did it before. He can do it again. I was on the phone with a friend of mine, very close friend of mine during the week. He was telling me about certain situations. And I had passed through that situation myself. So I began to share my testimony with him. He was like, you know what? I am so encouraged by your testimony. I said, you know what? The God who did it for me is going to do it for you. And I'm going to be praying for you. That's the kind of thing you need around you. And there's no way that is not going to turn into a testimony. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You need somebody who's going to remind you that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Number one, do not be afraid. Number two, only believe. Number three, surround yourself with right people, positive people. Number four, if you are surrounding yourself with positive people, then you have to do away with negative people. You have to do away with them, no matter how important they are in your life. The moment you enter into the zone of negativity, excuse me, move back. Move back. The things we want to do here, negativity has no room in this place. Praise the Lord. Mark chapter 5, verse 38 to 40. Then he came to the house of the ruler of synagogue. Finally. Can you imagine when it's finally your turn, when you've been waiting? Huh? You've been on the queue. Finally. Hallelujah. And then, something else now happens at the finally point. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue. And he saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. When he came in, he said to them, why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed him. They were there to mourn. Now they start laughing. Who do you think you are? She's dead, you can't wait. They were saying all kinds of rubbish. But what did Jesus do? He put them all outside. You see, don't let the majority carry the vote in your life. Because the majority can be wrongly wrong. Hallelujah. They can be what? Wrongly what? Wrong. There's nothing you can do. Maybe in your house. Here, there's something we can do. Praise the Lord. Oh, come on. Praise the Lord. Because we serve the God of all possibilities. Amen. He put them outside. He didn't look at their faces. You don't believe in my vision? You don't believe in the assignment God has sent me? I don't need you around me. And then you come and threaten me, well, Pastor, if you don't preach this kind of message, we will go somewhere. Take your tithe and go. He put them outside. What did he do? He took the father and the mother of the child and Peter, James, and John and they entered where the child was lying. You know, some people come to empathize with you. You think they are genuine, but they are not genuine. They are not genuine. They just come to glory. Have you noticed that there are places where armed robbers will go? They will raid. And then when people gather back, guess who is among the people that gather back? The same thieves. They are there to just look at, oh, did it work well? There are people who will do you evil. And they want to come back and see the effect. You know? He's still alive. Eh? He's still alive? Yes. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. They were not really sorrowful, you know. They were actually happy the child died. You say you're a pastor. Huh? When I did this, when I did that, then they will remember what the pastor's wife did. How she didn't greet them. God catch them. Hey, mommy, sorry. Inside there. She's a wicked woman. That's why it happened. Praise the Lord. You know, in situations like that, you just know that God is bigger than them. Praise the Lord. But you have to put your focus in the right place. Some people are jealous of you. Amen. And you don't need me to tell you. They're jealous of you. Oh, you know what? We just bought a house. They will swallow first. Oh, praise the Lord. That's why I tell people, when you're women especially, you are pregnant. You don't need to tell anybody. You don't even need to tell me. Don't worry. We will see. Pregnancy does not hide itself. Hallelujah. I know somebody who was engaged to be married, went to the sister and said, oh, you know, thank God I found somebody I'm going to marry. I'll bring him home. She brought him home. Long before you know it, the person who said, bring him home, is now sleeping with the person they brought home. How come? We are going to get married. I used to know him before you. That's the wickedness of the world. Hallelujah. Wickedness of the world. And they will get their pay. I said they will get their pay. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, you need to be bold to weed out pretenders from your life. You need to know them. There are tests you can do. I don't have time to give you all that. There are tests you can do so that you know who are the pretenders and weed them out. Ignore them. Take them out of your life, out of your situation. You know, genuinely, if they are in the swamp of your life, drain them out. Drain them in the swamp. Drain the swamp. You guys are now shouting, drain the swamp. I'm going to bring our president here. Praise the Lord. You know? You see, for those kind of people, there is nothing you do that is ever enough. There is nothing you give them that is ever enough. They just want more and they want to see you go down. In their presence, you are going to rise. I say in their presence, you are going to rise. I say you will not go down. I say you will not go down. Rather, God is going to lift you up in the name of Jesus. Maybe let me just give you one so I can move on. Maybe you need to check your contacts in your phone. There are some you need to delete. Let me tell you, if there's somebody who calls you and you are dilly-dallying about picking their call, delete them. They are not important. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Point number 5, quickly. Mark 5, 41 to 42. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, Talita kumi, which is translated, little girl, I said to you, arise. Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. Speak life. That's my number five. Speak life. Speak life. There's a songwriter that sang that song. Speak life, speak life. Speak life. No matter the situation, speak life. Speak life to your family. Speak life to your children. Speak life to your marriage. Speak life to your expectation. Wake up in the midnight. Speak life. You are facing challenges in the office. Wake up and speak life. That's why God gave you mouth. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Speak life over yourself, over your job, over your business, over your parents. Speak life over your finances. When you are sowing your seed, your offering, your tithe, your first fruit, speak life. Speak life. Speak life in the church. Speak life to your church. Rather than condemning the church outside and behind, speak life. Because when you speak life, there's a way it comes back to you. Anything you speak has a way coming back to you. You know what I know? As long as you keep speaking life, very soon, death will turn around and change to life. Praise the Lord. One thing Jesus did not do, he didn't hold the pulse of the girl. Is there a pulse? How long has she been like this? And what did she eat that made her look like this? You see, when you are doing all of that, it's like you are empathizing with the parents. You understand what I'm trying to say? You know? He just held the hand of the girl. Little girl, wake up. Receive life. And she came to life. Praise the Lord. Every good thing in your life that the enemy has stolen and has killed, I take authority in the name of Jesus and I command them to come to life in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. The Bible says the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, or to destroy. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and that you may have it in abundance, abundantly. I speak to you, church. I speak to you, Wisdom Assembly. Rise up on your feet. Receive abundant life. I say, rise up on your feet. Receive abundant life. Stretch forth your hands to heaven and begin to receive abundant life. Begin to receive the life of God. Begin to receive the life of God. When God turns around your situation, because the next thing Jesus said for the girl, about the girl, was that Jesus said, feed her, give her food. Give her food. Feed your result. It's not just only in testifying. Help other people to achieve what God has helped you to achieve. I pray for you this morning, where you are. I don't know where you are in your life right now. I don't know what damage the enemy has done in your life. I pray for you this morning. I say, receive the life of God. Receive the life of God in your body. Receive the life of God in your mind. Receive the life of God in your home. I pray for your little child. Receive the life of God in the name of Jesus.